Today, so what's happening to bank lending? Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our podcasts in which we discuss the latest finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. The last working day of each month is when we get the latest data from both the Reserve Bank and APRA looking at credit in Australia. The data to the end of April 2018 has just been released, and today we're going to look at what the latest intelligence tells us about the trajectory of credit in Australia. So first, the RBA has released their credit aggregates to April 2018, and total mortgage lending rose $7.2 billion to $1.76 trillion, another record. And within that, owner-occupied loans rose $6.4 billion, up 0.55%, and investor loans rose just 0.14%, up $800 million. Personal credit fell 0.3%, down $500 million, and business lending rose $6.3 billion, up 0.69%. Business lending was 32.5% of all lending, which is the same proportion as last month, and investment mortgage lending was 33.7%, down slightly from last month, as lending restrictions tighten. The monthly trends are noisy as normal, although the fall in investor property loans is visible and owner-occupied lending is easing. But the annualised stats shows that owner-occupied lending is still running at around 8%, while business lending is around 4% annualised. Investment lending is down to 2.3% and personal credit is down to 0.3%. On this basis, household debt is still rising. At the same time, APRA released their monthly banking stats, again to April 2018. ADIs, or Authorised Depository Institutions, just mean banks who take deposits from customers. And now, here, we are really starting to see tighter lending standards bite. In fact, Westpac apart, all the majors have reduced their investor property lending this month. APRA reports for each lender the total net balance outstanding at the end of each month, and by looking at the trends, we see the net of loan roll-offs and new loans coming in, and this is important, as we'll see. At the aggregate level, total lending for mortgages rose 0.2% in the month, up $3 billion to $1.67 trillion. And within that, owner-occupied loans grew 0.29% or $3.1 billion to $1.07 trillion, while investment loans fell slightly, down 0.01% or around $42 million. And as a result of all that, the relative share of investment loans fell again to 34.14%. The trend movement highlights the significance of the fall. The August 2017 point, by the way, is an outlier, which is thanks to reclassifications. This is the weakest result for years. At an aggregate level over 12 months, this would translate to a rise of just 2.3%, significantly down on the range between 5 and 6% we've seen in recent months. Turning to the individual market shares, at the aggregate level, there was little change, other than that Westpac's share of investor loans grew to 27.6%, up from 26.1% in January 2016. Looking at the trends from the Big Four, Westpac has continued to increase its share of investor loans. CBA has fallen away the most significantly. There has been almost no shift in the owner-occupied loan shares. The monthly changes in value tell the story, with Westpac and Macquarie growing the value of their portfolios across both owner-occupied and investment lending, and we see falls in net investor lending elsewhere. So we conclude that Westpac has executed a different strategy in terms of mortgage origination compared with its competitors. They may be offering selective discounts to attract particular types of business, or they may have different lending standards, or a combination of both. It's quite possible that we'll see other lenders trying to compete relative to Westpac in the investment loan domain ahead, as lending growth is needed to sustain profitability. But demand is also falling, so we expect lending momentum to continue to weaken, with the consequential impact on home prices and bank profitability. We are entering credit crunch territory. One interesting piece of analysis we completed is the comparison between the RBA data, which is the whole of market, and the APRA data, which is bank lending only. Now, this is tricky as the non-bank data is up to 3 months behind and only covers about 70% of the market. but we can get an indication of the relative momentum between the banks and the non-bank sectors. We see that non-bank lending has indeed been growing since late 2016. The proportion of loans for property investors is around 28%, which is lower than from the banks. Back in 2015, the non-bank investor split was around 34%. The percentage growth from the non-bank sector appears stronger than the banks overall. Across all portfolios, loan reclassifications are running at around $1 billion each month. Finally, if we look at the relative growth of owner-occupied and investment loans in the non-bank sector, we see stronger investment lending in the past couple of months. Bank investment property lending actually fell in April, according to the APRA stats that we spoke about before. As expected, as banks throttle back on their lending, the non-banks are filling some of the void. But of course, the supervision of the non-banks is a work in progress, with APRA superficially responsible, but perhaps not actively so. We would expect better and more current non-bank reporting at the very least. APRA, please take note. So in summary, overall lending for investment mortgages is easing, and you could argue that Westpac is the last bank standing between a crash, as they appear still willing to lend. Meantime, non-banks are indeed growing faster, meaning there is risk transference underway to segments of the market which are less well regulated, and given recent history, even the banks require tighter controls. Except that, according to Wayne Byers, speaking in Senate Estimates today, everything is just fine. He said, "The core of APRA's mission is safety and soundness. Clearly, some of the revelations emerging from the Royal Commission have been disturbing and go to the heart of whether financial institutions treat their customers fairly. However, while institutions have a great deal of work to do to restore trust, I want to emphasise that Australians can be reassured that the industry is financially sound and that the financial system is stable. That reflects considerable policy reform and hands-on supervision over a long period of time, designed to build strength and resilience." He said, "We don't know when the next period of adversity will arrive or what will trigger it, but when it does arrive, we need to have done what we could to strengthen the financial system so that it can continue to provide its essential services to the Australian community when they are needed the most." Feels like they're operating in a parallel universe based on the data that we're seeing at the moment. Now, before I sign off, I wanted to highlight our planned live question and answer session, which is scheduled for next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Sydney local time. This will be streamed live via YouTube. I plan to take questions live via the built-in YouTube chat facility, as well as answer some of the questions which I've got from my previous posts and earlier conversations. The session will appear as a normal broadcast afterwards, so you can choose to send questions through over the next few days ahead of time, or join me live at 8 p.m. next Tuesday, or watch the session afterwards. I hope to see you there. And remember to mark your diary. I will be putting up a scheduled event shortly. If you like what you heard here today, please like the post and add a comment or question. If you want to join the growing band of subscribers who receive alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst at Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next time.